The grapevine here on Z95.5 as we troll for food. And I noticed, Dick, you were not available at the end of that song.
No, I wasn't. I was talking to Manny from Victor from Manny's Deli in Ferndale. Who called and said he was going to volunteer some food. But that doesn't mean other folks don't have to do that. You know, other folks can certainly send him up here at 10 Mile in Greenfield, too.
Phil Molson
says, Ankles. I'm sorry, that's against the American government rules, but he doesn't care because he's Canadian. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi there.
I want to know whatever happened to Bud Davies.
Okay, Bud Davies on CKLW. Big Jim, do you know?
The last I knew was in Toronto, very successful on a middle-of-the-road type radio station in Toronto. Been there for a lot of years, and I would think that probably somebody would know a little more about Bud than I would.
Yeah. Okay, now Joe Vann, who worked with him, died of cancer some years ago, didn't he?
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But Bud is I think, alive and doing very well up in Toronto or somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Okay?
How about Lee Allen?
Well, Lee Allen's here in town. He has an advertising agency, Reichheld Associates, I believe it's called.
Okay.
Thank you. Sure. You hear him on a lot of car commercials. Good morning.
Good morning, Dick.
Yes.
How are you this morning? Afternoon.
Big Jim, this is Vernon Armstrong.
Hello, Vernon.
Hi, Big Jim. How you doing?
Oh, finer than frog hairs.
Good to hear you.
It's a southern expression.
Dick, what happened to Toby David?
Well, Toby David. Okay, he lives in Arizona. He was the morning man in CK before you, Jim. Do you remember Toby David?
I do, yeah.
His son Ron David is here in town in the agency business.
How do you know this?
Well, I just remember. I've interviewed Toby on the air a few years back, and he's retired and doing very well in Arizona, Vernon.
That's amazing.
Vernon, how's your lovely wife, Kay?
Because I love you.
Thank you, Kay.
Isn't that great?
Is she still asleep? She usually gets up by 11, I thought.
She with her breakfast. She's laying down.
She's back laying down, taking a nap. Well, I understand. You know, after a few years, you have to, you know, take care of yourself.
Good, Vernon.
Vernon, it's always nice talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Vernon Armstrong, good morning.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Excuse me. It's just force of habit. Yeah, here we go. I was working midnights. Now I'm back in the morning.
It's not midnight. Not yet.
Let's
do
we
have any tapes? One of my favorite radio programs of all time was the old Lou Shook Show from 6 to about 6:07 every morning.
That's right.
That you slept in?
When I was late. That's correct on XYZ.
Any tapes of that?
No, I don't have any tapes of any of that stuff. I'm not like Bobby Green or maybe Big Jim here. I don't know, but I didn't save a lot of stuff. I should have, but I didn't.
That's too bad. That was a great program.
Yeah, that was the highlight of the show, as a matter of fact. When I came in, we always seemed to go downhill, but that's the way it
goes. Whatever happened to Louis Shook? Yes.
Well, Louis on the East Side. He's he's retired now.
Right.
Does he still go out to the Busy Bee resale shop?
I would imagine. That's where he got all his Van Lon shirts from.
I'm amazed you know this, Dick.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Waiting for you to say, Louis broke his leg. We had to shoot him. How do you know these things?
Well, I wanted too many times. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
That's good. I was just wondering, whatever happened to Johnny Randall?
Well, that's a good question, too. Johnny, the last I heard, was in Newport Beach, California. He was selling hospital equipment or something like that. He'd gotten out of the business, one of the smarter guys, I guess. And his dad and mom, I think, still live in town. His real name was Mannheimer, David Mannheimer, right? Yeah. And
No, he got into hypnosis right after he left radio.
He needed it. And no, I have not been in contact with Johnny since the day he left, so I don't really know.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much. Sure, we have a tape of Big Jim Edwards right now on the Big 8. So, Jimmy, take it away.
Well, this will be fun to listen to little memories here from about 1968. By the way, Dick, I came to CKLW in November the 7th of 1967, and I started there 1 week after the legendary Byron McGregor.
Oh, yeah.
Known to his close friends as Bowdens McCruger. I don't know why, but anyway, and I understand Byron may be over this afternoon, isn't he?
I would love to have him here. I have not talked to him.
Do some of that death-wielding yellow journalistic news that he was so famous for.
Well, it's exactly right, and we can, as a matter of fact, we do a takeoff on that on the morning program with Gordon Kincaid in the 1919 news department as opposed to the 2020 that CK had for so many years.
I always liked his news, you know, Buffalo Boy bashed and bruised, then strained through the grill of a Buick, you know.
That's right, and you were doing the morning show and he was doing it on your show, right?
That's right. Ferndale man sucked to death by vacuum cleaner. That story next.
Yeah, those were great days, weren't they?
Here's a raised its ugly face in the Motor City today.
Big Jim on tape right now.
CKLW.
The Big 8, your 24-hour low power gets it on. This is Los Bravos. We're going to have a party. I'm going to bring the wine. You bring the lovin'. Good time.
Hello, Madam. Motown's number one, C95.5.
Direct from the Career Academy School of Announcing into your hearts and homes this afternoon at Z95.5. This is Lou Christie and Lightning Striking Again.
Listen to me.
Z95.5 with some music by Lou Christie called Lightning Strikes. Big Jim Edwards.
Always good to have Edwards those records today. Running out, Dick, you know.
See, it's talking on the phone again. That's what it is.
I know. We're on the phone again, you know. The next thing you know, dead air.
That's, the great sin, of course, ladies and gentlemen. Dead air in this program or anybody's program. We'll be back with Big Jim Edwards from CK in the big days over there coming up. And we're also going to play an excerpt of Gordon Kincaid from the 1990 newsroom since you brought up Byron McGregor.
Yes.
And how CK did this. Sensationalized type news back in the 60s and probably in the 70s, too,
probably
I think
too.
It was. Yeah. Sure, yeah, middle or late 70s, either.
Yeah.
All right, back with Big Jim in just a moment. Hey, alum right there, Big Jim, that's Colleen Burkhardt.
That's right. You know, it's amazing, Dick. Dick, you went on the air here and we trolled for some food and we got a major industry mogul.
We did.
To bring us some vittles.
Herb McCord is in the studio. Herb, we worked for at CK. Did you work for Herb? I did, certainly.
No.
I've been trying to hire Big Jim for 15 years.
Have you really?
Yeah. In fact, if he'd have come back, you'd have never worked at CK.
I know. That's right, because Jim would have been doing
he worked cheaper.
Oh, that's right. Bad, too. Well, Herb, it's good to see you. Thanks for the food.
Well, it's an old Pavlovian response for a general manager. You know, the morning man asks for Coney Island. You bring Coney Island.
In lieu of money, just give him Coney Island.
Right.
I must mention, Jim, and I'm sure you know this to the audience, that I was at WXYZ for 10 and a half years. In 1978, Herb and I started talking about going over to CKLW.
Right.
Herb was the general manager there from what year? 72, Herb?
73.
73 to 78, then.
Right.
Okay. And we talked for a long time, my barrister, Henry Baskin, and Herb, and myself, and so forth.
Beware of a lawyer who works out of the trunk of a 55 Chevy.
Yeah, that's right. Headed west.
Henry still has pieces of my flesh.
Yes, he does. That's right. And so, on November 1st, 78, I started on CK, ending the day before on XYZ, and worked for Herb, who is truly one of the most remarkable men, and I mean that in a very positive, complimentary sense, in the business.
He brings good hot dogs.
Yes, he certainly does. And we were just talking, Herb, about Byron McGregor. Now, he worked for you there, and he did the sensationalized news.
I deny all of that, Dick.
Well, unfortunately,
I still have a resume that I have to
serve. I know that, but we have it on tape. of course, Byron was the sensationalized news type of presentation, and CK was just a ton in those days with great rock and roll ratings and so on and so forth. And we have on the air here in the morning taken a little bit of Byron's type approach in those days and changed it with Gordon Kincaid instead of the 2020 news. And what was that, 20 of the hour and 20 after the hour?
Right.
Herb, yeah. And we made it 1919, but we don't give a damn and play it anytime. So anyway, here's Gordon Kincaid with an excerpt of one that he had on recently.
At 24 after noon.
Yeah.
Running late again, Dick.
This is Gordon Kincaid, 1919 news. Democratic frontrunner Gary Hart is in the news this morning based on a report in the Miami Herald that a woman spent the weekend in his townhouse. The horny hussy the Herald hounded helped Hart handle his schedule, find financial friends to funnel funds, and relax from the rigors of the road. A spokesman for the Democratic hopeful said the woman was just a friend and a way of cutting down campaign expenses. Hart's campaign had been spending $500 a week for the senator's call to Fantasy Phone. The Jim and Tammy Baker story won't go away. Over the weekend, the rangy Rev and his Bible-belting bimbo spoke to the press, saying that despite the amount of income they have generated over the past few years, they would be broke within 6 months. Baker said he doubted if they would ever get back into the ministry, and Tammy noted that she might go into politics. The blonde bombshell said she was already becoming active in one Democrat's campaign and was working, handling his schedule, finding financial friends to funnel funds, and relax from the rigors of the road. Although she refused to name the candidate, this reporter is going to begin a 1919 investigation to see what can be turned up. This year's Kentucky Derby is history, with Ali Sheba running away with the roses. The real story to insiders is the demise of the favorite Demons Be Gone. The big money mount had problems with a bloody nose, causing his owner to state at a press conference that he was disappointed in Demon, but would stand by him during his cocaine rehabilitation program. After all, it's not the first time a young big money athlete had gotten in trouble with the nasal narcotic. Trainers said they became suspicious when they found straws used for Demon's stall stuck in his snout the next morning. One track expert noted the horse hasn't been himself since he started hanging around singles bars with Dwight Gooden. 1919 weather just ahead of much more music on the Dick Burton Show. It's hot around Gary Hart, ice cold for Jim and Tammy in Heritage USA, and snowing in Kentucky. Gordon Kincaid, 1919 News.
Dick Burton, with all hits all the time, Z95.5.
Little Billion Dollar Music here on a great weekend with Jimmy Soul and some good advice. Z95.5, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, just marry an ugly wife. There's probably some advice that some of us have taken more seriously than others.
I suppose. All right, Jimmy, we have some calls here, so let's go to the line here. Big Jim Evers from CKLW, the morning man for many years over there. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just had a call and tell you that I'm driving down the street, stopped at a light, and everybody is in their cars laughing during the Byron McGregor takeoff. It was wonderful.
Well, you know what that means? They probably have WWJ on. Funny news, you know. Well, that's very good. How's the weather? Is it a beautiful day out there?
It's a beautiful, beautiful day. And honestly, this morning has been just fantastic listening to you guys. I have loved every minute of it since 10 o'clock.
Well, that's
good. Have your top down?
No, I don't have the top down, unfortunately.
Yeah, I see. He said you're and you said the. Yeah, that's right. Very good. Thank you, ma'am. We appreciate your calling.
Thanks very much for making a great day.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dick.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. You've been saying it's midnight all day. But anyway.
Did I say good morning again?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking either mornings or of course.
Dick, you got the upper plate in backwards again.
I sure do, yeah. Go ahead, sir.
I had a question. Yesterday at work, there was a number of us talking about this program today, and we got in a big discussion. Which radio station used to run the Think Summer promotion?
Okay. Jimmy, you probably don't know the answer to that, or maybe you do because you guys didn't.
WKNR.
Cleaner
13.
Right. Even made a little bet on that one.
That's right. No, it was Keener, yeah.
I thought it was.
A little station in Dearborn, I think.
And it's an amazing story because that was a little station in Dearborn that couldn't even be heard on the east side of Detroit at night.
That's a true story. I think at the time, if I remember right, and just to talk a little industry here, the radio business was measured in terms of ratings covered by a number of different rating companies, probably the most famous of them is called Arbitron. And I think, if I remember correctly, Detroit was six counties that were surveyed. Isn't that correct?
It's pretty much the same now, yeah.
Yeah, and WKNR was a tremendous success story because it really only covered three out of those six counties.
That's right, so
for them to have such an incredible dominance at one time or another, I think that radio station had more than a 20 share of the audience.
They sure did. I'll tell you a very brief story about that. I was doing mornings at Keener, and we had a 20 share in the morning, a 30 in the afternoon, and a 40 at night. I mean, that was before FM, and those were incredible shares of audience and so forth.
Yeah.
But in 1967, when the Drake format came in, and then you entered the picture, Jim, over at CK in November 67, as you said, November 7th, they immediately took the audience away from Keener. I mean, immediately. It was like in 30 or 40 or 50 days, it was gone.
Within a period of 6 months, the station was number one.
Yeah, okay, 6 months.
Yeah.
One of the problems therein, I don't know if you remember this, because maybe you weren't here when the official change happened, but WXYZ had been a top 40 station.
Right.
Well, when CK came on with the top 40 in the Bill Drake format of California and so forth, WXYZ dropped the music. They dropped their format of top 40 and went to what they call an AC, adult contemporary these days, type of format.
Jack Jones and Andy Williams, two of your favorite artists.
Oh, Petula Clark. Yeah. I played a lot of that
stuff. Do we have any of those tunes here today?
Yes, we do.
No, we haven't got any anywhere.
So what happened was, here is Keener not getting to the east side at night, missing one-third of the whole area. Right. All of a sudden, that entire audience went from WXYZ and CK to exclusively CK.
Right.
And that was a great help to CKLW.
It was a terrific help. And of course, there were a lot of things that were happening along the same time. It's important to remember, I think, in the big picture here, that this was just in the days when Motown had just broken wide open as far as a music capital of the world. The intention, you know, started around 1964 towards the music industry here, and this is the timing. These contemporary music stations came on right after that, and CKLW covered 20 some odd states and three or four provinces of Canada, and because of that, we were exposing that music to the basic all over the country with a tremendous amount of regularity, and I think that was part of the great success of
it. And what happened to CKLW has happened to all the big AM rock radio stations around the country. As a matter of fact, in Buffalo, which is where I'm from, WKBW, which was legendary for many years, now known as WWKB, just the other day, I understand, fired everybody on the air and went to a tape service. No more. Of course, they've been out of the top 40 business for years.
Yeah, I grew up listening, as you did, Dick. We were were both Buffalonians, native born and raised.
I forgot that, Jim. Yeah. I forgot you were from there. Sure. Yeah. Gary Stevens will be with us later. He's from Buffalo too.
He's from. In fact, he and I went to the same school together.
Mm-hmm.
He was 4 years older than mm-hmm. I was.
Of
Dick,
course,
I,
all right.
I think it's
and 4 feet
to mention,
shorter too.
Yes, he was.
Uh-huh.
He was the class president of. I was the class buffoon.
Is that right? Well, he became a disc jockey and he went into radio station brokerage.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Recall.
And the rest is merely history.
It certainly is. You want to introduce a song for us coming up here momentarily?
Sure.
All right, Big Jim Evers from CK Days will be back with us right after this.
Today?
From Z95.5. Take up calls here. Okay?
Sure,
Big Jim.
Dick, that'd be great.
Yes.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Big Jim.
Great listening to all you DJs over there.
Well, fine. Thank you. It's nice to have you with us.
Justin and Lee Allen.
Pardon?
I said Joel Sebastian and Lee Allen, all of them from Wixie.
Yes, indeed. Well, now, Joel Sebastian died a couple of years ago. Maybe not quite that long ago. Yes, he did in Chicago, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But,
if it wasn't for the Keener albums, we wouldn't know what you guys look like.
Well, believe me, we don't look anything like that anymore. I want you to know that, please.
Yeah.
Yes, put a mustache on me and about 30 pounds lighter. Yeah, but thanks for calling. Have a nice day.
You too.
Yep.
Bye.
Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi there. Did I do it again?
Is it afternoon again,
Dick? We did a 16-hour marathon for the Salvation Army last the fifth anniversary of the show, February 8th. I did this all day long.
Is that right?
I said good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I did.
Well.
Good afternoon. Can I help you? Well, thank you very much.
Oh, hey.
All right, it doesn't matter. We got a record to play here anyway, right, Jim?
Okay, let's do this, Dick. Here's a little Motor City Million Dollar Weekend magic. Brenton Wood and the dreaded Oogum Boogum song. Certainly one I remember for a long time. That's Brenton Wood at Z95.5 and the Oogum Boogum song.
You
Dick,
know?
We were just talking about the fact... That, you know, you and I have gone through Canadian customs probably more than most of the rest of the folks in this room.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I,
not me.
No, Ankles has done it a lot, mostly illegally, by the way.
Yeah.
And, careful.
And isn't this the truth? You could usually, when you did the morning show over in Windsor, you could usually make up for lost time in that tunnel.
Yes, you could. What are you getting at, Jim?
It's amazing how fast you can go in that tunnel at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Talking about maybe passing in the tunnel?
I think that's true, Dick. A veritable truism, as we say in the big time radio. Business.
Yeah, when you're a little late for the shift, folks, there were times
but
when...
you always were.
I always was. And you did the same thing, huh, Jim?
I can confess that now,
mm-hmm,
I think,
yeah,
22 years later, that
right.
Indeed I did. Dick.
I understand.
And, yeah, but, you know, there's a lot of fun stories to tell about going through Canadian customs.
Well, I had no funny stories. I had some sad ones. What were your stories?
I had a fella that held up my keys and said, I confiscate your car in the name of the queen, and I said, she can have it because it don't run. maybe the queen can get it to run.
I love it. It's wonderful. That's great. No kidding.
That was a lot of fun.
In 4 years of going through, 4 years and 3 months, I was stopped 4 times on each side.
Yeah.
And one time they had a dog sniffing in a van that I was driving, looking for, they said...
smuggling in those Brenton Wood records.
Yeah,
again, huh?
That, and I had some rolls. My daughter has had some poppy seed rolls.
Poppy seed
apparently
rolls.
A little picnic the night before.
And you were rolling those
yes,
poppy seeds.
Yes, I was. That's right. Listen, there's someone on the phone. Herb, come on over here. Herb McCord, who was the general manager of CKLW in all of those years, is here. And Big Jim, who did the morning show. We have a surprise guest on the phone who's been listening and just called in. Byron?
Yeah.
Byron McGregor is calling in. I just talked to your wife, JoJo Shuddy McGregor. And we were just talking about you and the old CKLW news style.
Is this Bowdens McCruger?
It sure is.
Hey.
Hiya, Bronco.
Hi, how you doing, Herbie?
How many nicknames did you have?
JoJo and the Big
A
Traffic Copter.
Oh, that's right.
And well, you know, you got to beat your chest when you talk to JoJo. Good morning, JoJo. Here we are, the Traffic Copter.
You did that too, huh? Yeah, we were doing that with Colleen the other day. We beat her chest a lot, as a matter of fact, you know. Anyway, well, nice to talk to you too. Byron, can you give us a little...
Yeah, before I do, I'd just like to say that I've heard lots of stories about Gordon Kincaid, but, you know, that's the first time I've actually sat down and enjoyed it. I think he's great.
Well, thank you very much. As a matter of fact, he'll be in the studios live with us a little later on.
Byron, I told Dick I thought you were funnier.
Yeah, he did say that. Herb said that after listening. The real thing was a lot funnier.
That's right.
Maybe they could hire Gordon Kincaid at WWJ News Radio 95.
I think you should. It would liven things up a little bit, yeah.
All the legitimate guys ended up with legitimate news.
I guess so, that's for sure.
Okay, you want a little...
Yeah, I'd love to have a little Byron McGregor Big 8 news.
All right. Before the hour, this is Byron McGregor, CKLW 2020 News. Guns barked on the east side again last night. Death times five, and now there are 20 little toes peeking out from beneath the thick rubber sheets in the refrigerated cadaver pits at the Wayne County Morgue.
Oh.
And what exactly happened? They think it may have been crack cocaine related.
Oh, Byron, I love it. Oh, boy, those were the good old days, huh?
Oh, yeah, bring that back again.
Byron, you have no idea how much pain that brings back.
Uh-huh. As the general manager in those days, Herb, did you get a lot of grief from the listeners or when Byron would have these headlines and stuff?
Yeah, we really did. We really did. There were a lot of people out there without a sense of humor.
Yeah, you're right about that. I guess we've all been through that.
Motor City murder meter makes another mark.
Remember when we, 1 year we hit, I think it was 74, when we had the first year that we had 800 murders, and we were flipping coins in the newsroom to see who was going to get to announce it.
Who the lucky guy was, huh?
Hey, but, Dick, I just want to reiterate one other thing. I concur with you. Herb was probably one of the best GMs I've ever worked for. He was
probably
a great guy.
That was going to be my line. And I just want to say that I want to thank Herb Bricord for getting Byron McGregor to hire the first helicopter traffic lady in this town. And that being me, I don't know how you managed to get me in between all of those guys, Herb.
Sounds like
a lot cuter, JoJo.
Yeah, a lot cuter than those guys, yeah.
Sounds like an unsolicited testimonial to me.
It certainly does. And you are apparently a real good sport, JoJo.
Dick, I wish I could have had a chance to work with you, but I've moved on to WJRT in Flint. Everybody's been asking what I've been doing. I'm at the ABC affiliate there, so I'll just update everyone quickly there. And we're all looking forward to see everyone tonight at the big radio reunion.
That's at the Michigan Inn tonight. And there are no tickets available, right? Mike Seltzer's here. It is a sellout, and it is closed. It's not open to the public anyway, just pretty much people in the business.
JoJo, you told me last night, I don't know whether you know this, Dick, but JoJo comes from a broadcasting family, and so does Byron. Isn't that right, JoJo?
That's right. I mentioned that it's kind of inbred into the family. My sister, Sharon, most everyone remembers us from the good old days of the Auntie D show, but Sharon has moved on to WMAQ in Chicago. She's the consumer affairs reporter there.
Uh-huh.
Byron can speak for himself. His dad was the J.P. McCarthy of Calgary Radio for many years, but where's your brother now,
Bob? Who's J.P. McCarthy?
Yeah, my brother, who's 8 years younger than me, is the main anchor at a Vancouver television station. So
I see. So you're originally Canadian then, Byron?
Yeah. I have dual citizenship now. I'm a U.S. citizen, and I retain my Canadian, too.
So Herb didn't have to pull any of those funny strings to get you across the border then, huh?
Strings for me, though.
Did he really? Yeah. Well, he pulled.
I always tried, JoJo.
He always tried to pull your strings, but without any luck at all.
We had some great days at the border crossings, but I know we all can share those war stories later in this evening, because they have been some classic days at the Detroit Windsor Tunnel or the bridge.
And of course, Dick, you did it too. Jim did. I did when I first went to Jay for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So
you did the commute. We'll look forward to seeing you two tonight.
Okay, Dick.
Thank you, Byron McGregor. Thank you, JoJo Shetty McGregor.
Okay. Thanks a million, Kelsey, for putting this all on the air.
Why, sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Z95.5.